Toxic or hazardous waste is any liquid or solid material that can cause death, injury, or birth defects to exposed living creatures. The Environmental Protection Agency regulates the disposal of these materials. Special precautions and facilities are designated to minimize any possible risks. Such wastes include things that may contain heavy metals, chemicals, dangerous pathogens, radiation, or other toxins. Horizontal drilling produces both liquid and solid waste streams, which can contain heavy metals, dangerous chemicals, salts, and radiation. But you will never hear it referred to as hazardous by anyone officially.
So generally, any waste that's hazardous, meaning it meets certain criteria of toxicity, has to abide by the federal hazardous waste laws, except the oil and gas industry is exempt from that federal law.
Amy Mall is a senior policy analyst with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Mall explains that 30 years ago, the EPA exempted oil and gas waste from the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, or RCRA.
So right now, oil and gas waste, regardless of how toxic it is, can be treated like normal household waste in many places in the country. If there's oil and gas waste being generated in their community, being transported through their community, being stored in their community, or being disposed of in their community, the rules are just not there to protect them from the dangers of toxic waste.
Earthworks is a nonprofit based out of Washington, D.C., concerned with the adverse impacts of mineral and energy development. The organization just released a report that examines the subject of oil and gas waste management. The lead author, Nadia Steinzer, explains that the EPA didn't exempt the industry because the waste wasn't considered a threat, but because state regulation of this waste at the time was considered adequate. Of course, this was a couple of decades before the horizontal gas drilling boom.
Part of the deal that was struck at the time when the exemption was granted under the Resource Conservation Recovery Act was that the states would take care of it and the federal government didn't need to get involved.
Steinzer and her colleagues decided to see what they could learn about waste practices in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York, where Marcellus and Utica shale gas are being developed. And it's not a glowing report.
We were pretty amazed when we started digging around and saying, okay, what are these four states in the Marcellus and Utica shale region doing?
She says states are well behind the curve in adapting to the natural gas boom. Good characterizations of the waste is incomplete, according to a 2014 study that's cited, and not much information is available about where the waste is coming from, going to, or how it gets there. West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection officials say most information that does exist about oil and gas production and waste disposal procedures is available online. What information isn't public can be accessed with a fee and a Freedom of Information Act request. DEP spokesperson Kelly Gillenwater says her agency is going above and beyond what's required by law to make information more accessible. They're currently working on a project to digitize and make public the information they collect. She says, however, that project is in the early stages, and a time frame for completion doesn't exist yet. Steinzer's report argues that states don't require enough information and often rely on operators to self-report in good faith. The Earthworks report cites a 2013 study that says nearly half of all liquid oil and gas waste is shipped out of state, and the remainder is injected underground. But Amy Mall from NRDC says rules for injection wells everywhere are also in need of attention.
And we think the rules for those disposal wells need to be much stronger than they are now, because those disposal wells are not designed to handle toxic waste.
Another major concern is that a lot of this waste is going into our municipal landfills. These waste facilities were just never designed to handle waste that may even be radioactive in content.
Steinzer does credit West Virginia for taking some steps towards addressing the solid waste problems in the state. Municipal landfills do accept waste, even though it's largely uncharacterized. West Virginia lawmakers put requirements in place during a special session in 2014 that drill cuttings had to be held in storage cells in landfills separate from standard municipal waste. The DEP is also working with Marshall University to study the leachate from those facilities. Results from that study are scheduled to be presented to the legislature sometime this year. West Virginia University is also teaming up with the Department of Energy to better characterize waste streams from two Marcellus wells in Morgantown. Drilling there is supposed to begin in November. One other thing West Virginia may have going for it is a small office within the DEP, the Environmental Advocate Office.
The Advocate Office really grew out of DEP's recognizing that there's a growing environmental awareness in the public and that citizens want to be part of the conversation.
John King is an environmental resource analyst within the Advocate Office.
And more important than that, DEP recognizes that public participation is essential to environmental protection.
King fields many calls from citizens concerned about oil and gas waste management, as well as other issues related to gas development. While it may not be the responsibility of members of the public to be the boots on the ground for the DEP, King says protecting state resources and the public health may nonetheless require participation and investment of communities throughout the state. His office is interested in facilitating better communication between his agency, industry, and community stakeholders. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.